They say it takes a village to raise a child. But how do you raise a Christian when they live in a world that is so full of distractions, sin, and selfishness? The answer is found in this morning's passage. We are going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. And the answer is it takes a healthy local church to bring a believer to maturity. Let me read the passage for us. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray. Father God, what a joy it is to be able to bring the Word of God to the people of God. I pray that you would bless this preaching, and may you be glorified in it. Amen. Now, to make sure you keep this passage in context, I'm going to just give you a little bit of a summary of the chapters of Ephesians that bring us to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul wrote the letter of Ephesians to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Think of a soldier who's getting ready for battle. He needs to know why he is fighting, and he needs to know and believe and support the cause. He also needs to be trained to work effectively. He needs to be armed with the proper equipment for his work, and I believe that's what Paul is doing spiritually in this letter. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, he reminds the saints of who they are in Christ. They've been adopted into his family, and he has lavished them with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In chapter 2, Paul reminds them of who they were before and who they are now that they are in Christ. In chapter 3, Paul explains the mystery of Christ, which means Gentiles have been brought into the family of God. In chapter 4, Paul talks about unity in the church, and he explains the end goal of Christian growth, and he shows that every believer is supposed to grow up into the body of Christ. So that gets us into chapter 4, which is just a wonderful explanation of how the church is to be equipped and how it is to grow. If you're following along in your notes that are in the bulletin, you can see the first point there in how this is done is the leaders teach how to grow. So the outline I'm using today is quite simple. The leaders teach how to grow, the believers train in godliness, and then both the leaders and the people trust in God's design for growth. So you have teaching, training, and trusting going on. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he gives a list of different roles that God blessed the church with. He said, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Did you notice how each of those roles involves teaching? Apostles were to teach the things of God. Prophets prophesied and spoke God's word to teach others. The shepherds or pastors preached God's word and taught, and you know what the teachers did. They taught. Now you might be wondering, since we're addressing this passage, are there apostles and prophets still today? The answer from our understanding here at Grace Baptist Church is that there are not. There is not a need for apostles and prophets in the same sense that they were used in the early church. And the reason for that is we believe that God used the apostles and prophets for the time when God's word had not been completed. We believe that during the early church age, the canon was completed, and now that we have it, we believe that it is sufficient. We don't need apostles. We don't need prophets in the same way that they did in the early church. It's interesting, though, the other roles that are mentioned, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, we believe are needed in the church today. And one of the primary things they do is teach. So this is why I've emphasized the first point, is that the leaders of the church have the responsibility to teach the saints God's word and to equip them for the work of ministry. Hebrews 10:25 shows us that the body needs to gather together to hear teaching. It says, "Do not neglect meeting together, but encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Why do believers have to meet together? It's because that's how they grow. We'll see this more later in the passage, but it is pivotal to understand that the way believers are to grow is in the community of Christ, in the community of the church. So the first letter there was leaders of the church must teach God's word. Now if you move down to the next letter, it's the letter B, Christians must be equipped to serve. Mark Dever is a pastor in Washington, D.C. He wrote a book called Nine Marks of a Healthy Church that we are currently reading as elders. Just listen to this. The first mark of a healthy church is expositional preaching. It is not only the first mark, it is a far and away the most important of them all. Because if you get this one right, all of the others should follow. If you get the priority of the word established, then you have in place the single most important aspect of the church's life, and growing healthy is virtually assured, because God has decided to act by His Spirit through His word. So that's a bold statement there. Growth is virtually assured if God's word is preached, because it means that the church is following God's design for God's word to work by the power of the Spirit in the lives of those listening so that they will grow up into maturity. Verse 12 of chapter 4 in Ephesians says that God gave the church these men as leaders so that they would equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. This is a profound principle that needs to be clearly understood by the church. If we get this wrong, we will not be able to grow in maturity the way God intended. It's important to see that it is the responsibility of the church leadership to equip the saints. They are to focus their attention on this specific task. Acts 6 gives an interesting example of this. You remember at the time the church was growing rapidly, and the elders, the leaders of the church, realized they didn't have time to meet the needs and to have the ministry of the word and prayer. So they gathered all the church together, and they said, "It is not right for us to serve tables and to neglect the ministry of the word and prayer. Choose from among yourselves seven able men, godly men, who will be able to serve the Hellenistic or Greek widows that are being overlooked in the time of giving out food to them." Now, the elders weren't being lazy. They understood that it was the responsibility of the leaders to equip the saints. They needed to be focused on preaching the word of God. And I think it's helpful here, the word that's used there is ton legon. It is the ministry of the word. Their responsibility was to the word, and that wasn't just limited to preaching from a pulpit. That would have been a foreign idea to them in the sense that they were meeting in homes and they were ministering the word of God daily to their people, teaching them and equipping the saints. And it's good for us to realize that too. Being ministered to by the word is not just limited to a Sunday morning sermon. It includes our equipping class, our men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies, discipleship, one-on-one discipleship opportunities. So the leadership is responsible to teach. Christians must be equipped to serve. And then point C here is that the body grows together. You can see this in verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The body is supposed to grow together. 1 Corinthians 12:24 expands on this idea. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. The Christian is supposed to live life in the body of Christ. That is how they are supposed to function. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says that believers need to be equipped for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Do you realize that the body of Christ is built up by your involvement in our church family? This needs to hit us hard. This needs to really go deep so that we understand we are to be involved to help build up the body together. It's powerful to consider because it's not just the leaders who are supposed to be growing in godliness and helping you. You are supposed to help the entire body grow. And that is a very important thing for us to be focused on. Praise God, we're doing well at this as a church. We still have a lot to work on, but I know God is at work in molding us into His image. How do I know this? Because I see so many people serving in our church family. This is what the leadership is equipping you to do. If we see people serving, that means they are listening and obeying what we as leadership are calling them to do. Praise God for that. I think it's also important to realize if you're not involved in ministry, you are potentially stunting the growth of our church. You are stunting the growth in terms of godliness, in terms of maturity, by not being involved, because we are encouraged to serve more when we see you serve. So it's not just about how you feel and what you, what your limitations are. Think about serving as a part of the body. How can I help the body to grow? So that wraps up the first point. The second major point is that the body trains for godly growth. You can see this in verses 13 to 15. The leaders of the church are called to teach believers how to live the Christian life. Each believer is called to do the hard work required for spiritual training. Do you remember what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4? Train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The first letter here in your notes has two fill-in-the-blanks, and I'll tell you what they are right now. Christians practice what is preached. Christians practice what is preached. Verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 4 says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All Christians need to work hard to grow in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of God. This includes obeying God's word. It's not just hearing, we need to obey it. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What a strong way to put it. If you hear God's word but don't put it into practice, you are deceiving yourself. You are thinking you're fine. You're thinking, I'm doing enough. I'm listening to really good sermons. No, you need to obey God's word and put them into the practice, or else you're self-deceived. The tragic truth about King Solomon is that he was the wisest man to live in the world at that time, and yet he deceived himself. He was foolish because he did not put into practice everything that God had taught him. Especially when it came to women and to his wives and concubines, he completely ignored God's word and just said he would take as many as he could. He was not practicing what had been preached. But we know that Christians practice what is preached. Sometimes people don't practice what is preached because they're not convinced that what is being preached is the best way to live. They think of the Bible as a list of rules. That's not how the Bible describes itself. Just listen to Psalm 19, verse 19. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Listen to how Paul describes what will happen to you if you obey God's teaching. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the goal we have in the Christian life. It's to be made into the image of Christ. It's to be to grow. We'll never reach perfection on this earth, but our goal is to, after death, after if Christ returns and we're raptured, we'll be given a new body. We will ultimately reach that perfect state, the eternal state. But now he wants us to be growing into that image today. The next letter is believers grow in discernment. Look at verse 14. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. The Christian life is one of growth. When did you ever hear a child say, I wish I could go back to wearing diapers again? No, you never hear a child say that. That would be ridiculous. Children want to grow. Children want to mature. And the same thing is true for Christians. We want to grow. We want to grow in maturity, in discernment. We don't want to be like spiritual children tossed to and fro by the different views that come in from outside the church. When we talk about Christian growth, we're talking about the knowledge of God. We're talking about discernment for how to live a holy life. And how do you do that? You learn who God is, you study his word, and then you're able to discern what is not truth, and you are guided more and more into godliness. That's why we place such an emphasis on teaching God's word here. We want you to be equipped, and then we want you to train. We want you to use God's word with the issues that come up in your life, with the issues that we see in the news and different things. Where is that voice coming from? That is not a biblical idea. Point C here is that the saints follow Christ's example. I think this is important. You're not following our example ultimately, or the elders' example. You are to follow Christ's example. Verse 15 says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. This is a beautiful image of what the end of the Christian life is to look like. Each of us are being made into the image of Christ. Philippians 1:6, which is from the book that we're going to be starting a new series on next week, says this, Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The word for completion comes from this Greek word telos, wholeness, fullness, completion. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If you just followed Paul, you wouldn't be made complete. If you follow Christ, he will help you pursue that goal. And ultimately, you will be made complete when you are in his presence. Our end goal needs to be Christ. We are to follow Christ's example. And guess what? His path is hard. You need spiritual stamina. You need spiritual strength. You can't do it on your own. You need to be dependent on him. I'm just impressed with how much physical stamina people can have. I was driving by the park several weeks ago, maybe several months ago, the beginning of the summer, and a young student was out there in the heat, in the middle of the day, training for football. Now, he's months away from when the season is going to start, but he's there by himself. He's there without a coach. He is preparing himself so he'll be ready for the tryout, for the, you know, what's coming up. You just can't help but be impressed with that kind of drive and desire. Let's have that kind of drive in the Christian life. Let's be focused on wanting to train and to grow in godliness. if we love the end goal, if we love the prize, we'll be motivated to do it. We provide options for you to train. We have a 9 a.m. workout on Sunday mornings for the equipping class. This is a spiritual workout. All the options we give you are spiritual workouts that will help you grow in godliness. The last major point that I want to hit on is incredibly important. It is the church trusts in God's design. This is not something that we can do on our own. We have to trust that God will help us be equipped, train hard, and be made into his image. This brings us to the last verse and the last point. It's in verse 16. It's important to remember that we cannot grow in maturity as individual believers and as a church family without trusting in God every step of the way. Listen to verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The first letter here is that God sustains the local church. It would be very easy to preach this sermon with an overemphasis on man's part in the sanctification process. We need to mention that you are to train together in godliness, but it's important to remember the context of this letter. We can do nothing apart from Christ. We were dead in our trespasses and sins before he saved us. We were dead before he chose us and called us to be his own. And even in the Christian life, we are not able to be sustained and to grow without his power, without the Spirit guiding us. God is responsible to bring the body together. He is responsible to join each part and to equip the saints. He's responsible to make sure each part is working properly. How does he do that? He does that by the preaching of the word, by sustaining the body, helping keep sin out, helping grow in holiness. The second letter here under this point is that God equips each believer. He is the one who equips you. The word used for equipping is a fascinating word study. It's also used in Colossians 2:19, which says, holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together from its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. That word nourished is actually the same Greek word for equipped. So God is nourishing our growth as a church body. He is helping. He uses each of us to help each other grow. We, the body of Christ, can see each other's limitations. Have you tried this? I see you're struggling with this. Why don't you grow in this area? Come, join me. Follow me as I follow Christ. Just think about the way your legs work or your arms. You're able to stand up straight because your muscles are pulling against each other. Some ligaments pull, some push, but they work together to allow you to stay straight and strong. That is the same way the body of Christ functions. We work together. We care for each other. We love for each other. Someone's in need, we give extra. Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need that. That's how you are supposed to grow. God equips each believer by giving them a church family. If you try to live the Christian life on your own, you're going to fall down. You're not going to grow in the way God intended. You don't have the supporting muscles and ligaments that you need. Point C says, God makes the body grow. He's the one who brings the growth. And this is important to remember, whether it is growth in maturity for a believer, for a church, or growth numerically. We believe if it's a true church that is preaching the word of God, he will be the one who will bring the growth. Verse 16 ends with this. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Do you see that? The body can only be built up the right way if each part is working properly. That's powerful to think about. You know, we so often emphasize individual spiritual growth. Get your spiritual coach and he will coach you to grow in godliness. We say the church is the body that helps each person grow. And that means regular interaction with other believers in Christ. You can't be the coal that gets pulled out of the fire by itself. What happens to it? It dies out. Christian growth is like coals in the fire. They grow together. They burn brightly together. God wants to use you to help others grow. If you're not serving, you are restricting the healthy growth that God wants to bring. And guess what? If you're not serving, you're restricting your own spiritual growth. This is powerful to consider. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16 gives us this beautiful illustration of the body. It's one that we all understand. Healthy bodies grow. Healthy bodies grow. They gain muscle. They gain strength. And that is what each of us as believers in this body need to be focused on, following Christ, so that he grows us into a healthy church. You need to believe that God wants the body to grow. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you trust God, then you will grow bountifully. You will have a wonderful harvest. Not because of what you're doing, because you're connected to the vine. And that vine grows. Ephesians 4 is a powerful passage for our church family. I preached from this passage in the first month that I came here to Grace Baptist Church, and I'm happy to return to this, and we probably need to return to it every year just to remind ourselves of God's design for how the church is to grow. One reason I'm a pastor is because I believe in God's word, and it says, invest in the church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not overcome it. This is the answer. This is how the Christian is to grow. This is how the believer is to stay anchored in the midst of the storms of life. The world around us is falling apart, but believers do not have to be overcome. We stand firm, we resist the enemy, and we hold out, and we thrive in the midst of chaos around us. It's because we work together. We're a body. How is this done? The leaders teach, the body trains, and we trust God will build and will grow the church. 2 Corinthians 3:18 is just a beautiful picture of this. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. How is that for a paradigm of the Christian life? If you are a follower of Christ, then you are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And we would encourage you, don't make it hard on God. Make it easy for him. Come and grow together as the church family here at Grace Baptist. We want to equip you, like we've said, and one way to do that is to let you know what ministry opportunities are available. So in two Sundays, we're going to have a ministry fair, and we want to invite you to be a part of that. And we want all those slots of the needs that we have to be met. So I hope that you will not think of this in terms of burning out. If you have this vision of following after Christ, then you realize you need to be wise in what you accept and what you work on. And as a church leadership, we realize, you know, we don't want 20% of the church doing 80% of the work. We want 80% of we want 100% of the church doing all the work together. Okay? But if your mentality is an Ephesians 4, 11 to 16 mentality of service, then you don't worry about burning out because you know the body is there. If you work one muscle too hard and you strain a ligament, you know you're lifting wrong. You're doing something wrong. So we shouldn't have burnout in our church because we are a body. We're working together. We know when someone needs rest. We know when someone works extra. It balances out because we are pursuing the perfect image of Christ. And that is one of peace and joy and exuberant service of him. Let's close our time in prayer. Father God, what a joy it is to be able to study your design for the church. which is your design for Christian growth. I pray that we would use this as our foundation and allow it to impact us and for some of us transform our lives and give us the vision that you have for the church, and so that we can see how we fit into it. We want you to be glorified, God, in all these things, and we can't wait for Christ to come and take us as the bride to be with him in heaven. Praise things in your name. Amen.